Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord our God has perfect order. And I notice as I draw near to the Lord and he draws near to me, and all of his instructions, all of his guidance, every assignment he gives, there's a perfect order to it. And I've never been as motivated to go forward in the plan of God as I am now. There were times when the Lord would give me something to do and I would feel reluctant, and I would almost hesitate. But I didn't know how to judge how I fit in this plan. I didn't know how important my works were to God. I lacked a revelation of the works that God could do through me. Because I knew that I didn't know what to do, per se, I would hesitate. I had to believe in the instructions that God gave me, just like I would have to believe and stand on the word. If I don't feel good, I have to believe for my healing. I have to stand on the scriptures for healing. But when God gives instructions, you have to mix faith with it, just like you do for promises you need and desire. I wanted to do something for God, and when he would give me something to do, I wanted to make sure it was him. Now, sometimes I could tell if it was something I was used to. If it was giving somebody a good word that I knew that they would appreciate, I would gladly do it. And in the back of my mind, I would be concerned about whether they'd receive it or not. And if it was a rebuke, I was more cautious, more hesitant. But you can't choose when to obey God and when not to. You're supposed to always obey God. And I knew I had to do it. And in order to do a perfect work, you have to do the things God gives you, whether it's a rebuke, whether it's a personal word. You know, some of my friends, the Lord gave me, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge and had me to minister to them a word of wisdom. Now, I would tell them the dream that I had and what God said, and then I would give them the counsel God had me to give them. And every assignment, everything that he gave me to do, I ended up learning from it. And then when people would talk about what was going on in their life and it matched the knowledge of God, you know, the Lord knew what they were facing, and he knew the trouble he was trying to keep them from getting in deep trouble or out of trouble in the first place. And most of them listen. And they change course because they received the word that God had given. Now, it's important for us to do the handiwork of God. But every word that God ever gave, it always had a perfect order to it. And the Lord doesn't want to leave anybody out. And people are going to, after the rapture, see, a line will be drawn. People will be divided. People will be taken to heaven, and people will be left here. And people are going to want to know, they're going to wish that they were in, but they hardened their heart and would never receive God's word. They wouldn't stand on the word of salvation. They wouldn't stand on the promises of God for salvation. They wouldn't repent from their sins and their wicked thoughts and ways. And when the Lord, and as the Lord attempted, when he sent people to tell them things, they hardened their heart. And God couldn't save them. And recently the Lord told me those that harden their heart now, he's going to harden their heart some more. And now all of these things are happening. He even said people that are on the verge of believing, people that that live in the balance, he's going to work with them. And he's doing it for the sake of the people who are praying for them. So don't stop praying for the people you love, because it's working. The Lord has saved a tremendous amount of people in the last few years. These are the end days, folks. He can come back any moment now. There's never been a time so close to his return as it is now. And he's going to rapture his people. He's going to rapture his church. And they're going to leave in a glorious state, doing the things of God, doing what's in his heart. And he wants everybody that he can bring with him now, he wants to bring them now, because those that are left behind are going to go through a tremendously terrible time. There's never been a more disastrous time to live in than the days ahead. When the tribulation starts, it starts. Ready or not, it's going to start. It's going to be bad. Everybody who didn't get saved, played with the world, hardened their heart against others, remained in strife with people, and operated in unforgiveness and lived an unclean life, they will be left here. But those who soften their heart and follow God and do justice, you know, Judah went to Babylon, before they were captured, when the kings were still in place, before they got hauled off to Babylon and the princes killed, Jeremiah sent a word, you know, let all the slaves go free and treat people right, do justice. And at first they repented, then they thought about what they'd done, and they did just like Egypt. They went back and tried to recapture the slaves. See, they never obeyed. They didn't obey the years of Jubilee like they were supposed to. And the Shemitah years. Every seventh year, all debts were supposed to be canceled. All the slaves set free. And people got their possessions back. Especially on the year of Jubilee. So they had people working beyond the seventh year. And the Jubilee. They didn't observe it. They were supposed to release the captives. If God said, you know, let the debtors go free, they were supposed to do that every 7 years, and they didn't, and they reneged. They let them go, then they went back and re-enslaved them. And then they went into captivity. Some people, they live on the edge of the world. They act just like Lot's family, Lot and his family. Abraham interceded for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, but their hearts were too hard, and the Lord went to test them. He sent two angels to go and see how bad the city really was. And they went to Lot's house, and the men tried to rape them. And they couldn't overcome the angels. And the angels took Lot by the hand, he, his wife, and his two daughters. That's all he... And the angels told Lot to go get all your family and get them out, just like now. The Lord wants his people to minister life and help others come out of this thing alive. And just like now, we are interceding for people we love, telling people about the rapture that's coming, about how the Lord will soon return. And people are still living their lives as if it's going to be just like this from now on, and it's not. So, Lot's sons-in-laws, Lot seemed as somebody that was mocking, and they paid him no heed. And they stayed, and his daughter stayed with him. He couldn't get them out. Then the angels grabbed Lot by the hand, his wife, and led them out, and his two daughters. And you know, Lot's wife looked back. After being advised not to look back, she looked back anyway and turned into a pillar of salt. Now, all these things happen, and it's just like now. We have loved ones, people that we love, kinfolks, friends, co-workers, people we see every day. And we let them know that, you know, Jesus got to come back. Do right. Get right with him now. And it's just like Lot and his family. The angels grabbed them by the hand and led them out. People are so reluctant, and to leave this cold-blooded world alone. And they're still getting the stripe. They're still talking about each other. And the Lord's steadily going to come back. So now, the Lord is truthful. He's not going to make up. He's going to tell, you know, he's truthful with people. He knows what's in their heart. He knows what they're doing. And he's not going to take sin to heaven. We're going to have to disconnect from our sins. God is not going to make us do anything. He's not going to drag you to heaven against your will. Now, the angels had mercy on Lot, and they got him out. And then he interceded for the city of Zoar, and they spared him. He went to Zoar, and the angels didn't burn it up. Now, once the rapture happened, we're in heaven. A lot of people that listen, they're going to be so thankful that God got them out. And the loved ones that remain, people are going to be crying all over heaven because they got left. And I know this. I understand it. I understand it in real time right now. And I'll probably be crying over folks. But I know for a fact the Lord judged right. He did what he could do with what he had to work with. Because people don't always consider his works to be as perfect as they are. They're looking at what they want, what they desire. They're not looking to the kingdom of God like they should and like they can. They're ignoring the things they want to ignore, and they're believing the things they want to believe, and they're trying to find preachers that has preached what they want, and they're going to be caught off guard. I'm sorry. It's not God's fault. It's not his plan. But God loves us all. And it's not his will that anybody be left. You don't have to be left. You can change your mind. If you were roguish and a thug and mean and hateful and lustful and full of cold religion, you can repent. He wants you to repent. But if not, those that don't will be caught off guard. Now, my pastor always talk about the Godward side and the manward side. To everything that goes on, salvation, Jesus died for us. The Father presented his plan and will for Jesus. Jesus was obedient to the plan, and he laid his life down willingly, and he did it. He was dedicated to doing it, and he did it on purpose, and he did it in victory. Now, so Jesus did his part. Then the Holy Spirit comes and when preachers do their part, they minister the word of God. They let people know that Jesus died, such as people like Billy Graham and others, other evangelists and pastors and just plain old Christians. They tell people what Jesus did for them. They give their testimony all their life. And they live according to God's will. They do the word of God. And then the cold religious world works to deceive them. While they're doing their best efforts, the world system, the world is pulling at them. And they love God. They go to church, they get recharged. They go out and do and act and they have to go out and work in the world and work among people. And the world tugs at them in every way you can think of. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Everything's pulling at them, tugging at them. And then you got cold religion, lying against God to them. All these things go on in real time, every day. And some people still make progress. They still go forward. And the deception that they allowed and didn't overcome yet, it slows them down, hinders their progress, and they still make some progress because the life of God is in them. And Satan can't get them to go back to the world. They keep doing God. They keep living the life of God. They keep doing God's word. They stay out of trouble. And they grow from glory to glory. And they renew their mind, some in part, some in full. And they represent the Lord. And then people see all this. And they can tell that the world is tugging at them. They can tell that there are differences of opinions among religious people. But when they hear the gospel, no matter what Christians believe wrong, the gospel is perfect. And every Christian church that teaches that Jesus' blood washed away their sins and he forgave us of our sins, that's enough to get people in the kingdom of God. So some people get in and some people stick with the world. Now let's rush over into after the rapture. Everybody's in heaven. They went. In that condition, your mind will be renewed and you'll know what you could have done and what you should have done if you didn't. And also if you did. If you did all that you knew and all that you could do, you'll be able to judge what you knew at that time and how far you got and what you accomplished. You'll see the results of your faithfulness in real time. And over time, you'll hear about the people that were blessed by your works. And you never knew it. You didn't think they were paying you any attention. But they went to heaven because they saw your life. Now, some of the people that saw your life and responded, you may have thought they didn't even like you. They could have been your boss. And I give you an example. When I worked on the car lot, I would put all the cars on the Christian radio station. And one guy was working there, one of the salesmen. He had been a Christian, but he went through a rough patch. A gas station ran him out of business like they always do. He had a thriving business. He had a house and a swimming pool. And the gasoline company, they came and he made a contract with them. And they told him how much he could sell this gas for and what he could do and how long he had to be open. And they ended up driving him out of business. And he ended up selling used cars. And he had to sell his house and everything. And he had been through a rough patch. And I kept leaving those cars on the Christian station. And he heard ministry and song and turned back to the Lord. But he told me about it. Now, everybody don't always get to find out what you've done and how you affect people. Another boss, he was over my boss. He said, where are all the cars? I said, well, Ernie sold them all. I said, every day, I pray that y'all sell these cars. I said, wherever I work, I try to do my best and I want God's blessing on it. That's exactly what I told him. And he just looked at me. I don't know if he believed in God at that time or not, but he probably never met nobody that was like that. And people heard, they knew where I stood. And for Christmas, they all pitched in and bought me a book. I still have it. And they signed it. And there's a book about who's who in the Bible. You affect people by your dedication affects people. Now watch this. Some of the people who were reluctant then, they remember your life. They can't forget it. And the Holy Spirit will work. And you may see them in heaven. You may have left in some form of disagreement, but they heard your words. They saw your life. They know your standards. And the Christian life is more powerful than what people realize. Now, when people are struggling with coming out of the world, they kind of get frustrated because people are showing them a better way and they're still reluctant. It's not personal. That's a fight that everybody must fight. The pull of the world and coming out of the world, people don't always act like you wish they would. And in our mind, we think, well, they hate God. It's not that way. They're trying to leave all that they understand to live a life that they don't understand. That's why we can't judge. And that's why the angels were told not to separate the wheat from the tares. Let them grow together. See, tares, they can, tares, they can be a stumbling block to wheat. But if people love God, they're not going to let a tare stop them, keep them out of the kingdom of God. They're not going to let the lust of the eye keep them away from God. They're going to love God more than the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. See, everything of Satan is wrong. It's wicked. It's unclean. It's not right. That's why I rebuke the lust of the flesh. I hate it. I can honestly say I hate it. And I don't want it. God made people. People are beautiful. People are appealing. And they're supposed to be. But our first love should always be on God. And with that love, we can drive out anything that's not of God. If you're married, all the other women are off limits. You know, you just can't have them. You got your wife. If you have the wife that has a husband, all the other men in the world, they're off limits. Big deal. We have a relationship with the Lord. We don't need anybody. If I was single, I'm still complete in the Lord. I don't need a wife to be single, to be complete. A wife don't need a husband to be complete. But I love my wife, and I want my wife. I desire my wife. I want her to live as long as I do, or even longer. But I want us to live a very long time. I love her. And I call her my blessing. and I pray for her every day. And I don't take our safety for granted. I ask the Lord to watch over her all day, bless her to have a safe drive home and to work wherever she go. And I do, you know, I can protect my people with my prayers and my faith. The shield of faith surrounds your people. It's the way you measure it. But you don't need others to be complete. But the world is in disagreement with God. And just like it tries to pull you back into it, its vacuum, it tries to pull the people that's already in there to keep them in the vacuum. And when they see better, they start praying. They start saying, well, once people can understand that God is real and they see his life in yours, they start wanting some of that. They start wanting the life of God. They don't understand it, but it looks better. And you're peculiar to them. Don't underestimate the life, the light that you live. Remember, just like in the last broadcast, whatever you put, never underestimate what you release into the spirit world. The life you live, the Holy Spirit can cause people to remember it. The acts of kindness that made the difference. The things you said that helped them out. The wisdom, the counsel, the laughter, the jokes. You know, sometimes you can say a godly joke and it can put people over. And help them come on into the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit can cause people to remember something you said 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, as if you had just said it. Now, the people in my life, I can still remember things that they said word for word. They probably forgot about it, but I didn't. I saw some friends, I knew them before they were Christians and afterwards. Some of my friends have grown up. They're grown now, and they go to church on their own. And they want to be there. And over all their imperfections and faults, they still love God. The Lord is our high priest. And don't think that he's not praying for each of us. Now, when everybody do their part, the Lord does his, God does his part. Our Savior Jesus does his part. The Holy Spirit helps us to see Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Then you have the people on earth. We're priests and kings here. We pray for people. Our prayers avail much. That's why the Lord hadn't come back as fast. People are praying for their loved ones, and he's trying to get them. He will be back by the day he said. And he can come back before that day, but he will not wait another day past the day that he set. And I know this. And he already set a date. And I know it's close. He told me it was imminent. He told me to tell my people to be ready that they be not left. That means that some Christians will be left. And they can be left if they don't get out of unforgiveness, for instance, strife, and things that will hold them back, the love of the world. This is no time to leave things to happenstance. The urgency is be right with God now and let others know to do the same thing. Because the Lord's coming back and his return is swift. Very swift. When it happens, it's over, it's done. He's gone. People will be left, people will be taken. And people are going to say, well, how come you couldn't save my people? And the Lord's going to say, because they hardened their heart. And remember, he said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord, I preached in your name. I taught. I cast out demons. He's going to turn, I never knew you. Now, why would he say that if it wasn't true? People do turn their shoulders. In this country, in the days of the pilgrims, there were turncoats. People that their allegiance went to England and other countries. And they betrayed the Americans that they were living with. The church is no different. There are people who are turncoats. They turn and they go back to the world like demons. And they love preeminence like Diotrephes in 3 John. And there are people that go after vain things. And they love their position more than God. Big deal. It's no different now. But the Lord's return would catch people off guard if they're not watching. Watch and pray. This is a time and hour that we must watch and pray. Now, we can't control other people's response to the gospel and the things of God. But if we can live the life before them, we can take away excuses, expose truth for what it is, and encourage people to make the best choice. Remember, God is greatly misunderstood. And there are people who love the world. Even in the millennial reign, people will have heard about people who they'll see Jesus every day. And they will have heard about our times and how we were waiting on him to come. And then they'll know from others that they were waiting on him to come in the first place. And then he came. We'll be able to dialogue with people of that era. And we'll exchange our testimonies. People, they will have heard all these things. They will be born in the millennial reign. The survivors of the tribulation period will still be having children. Now, those in the church, they'll live forever. They won't die. But those that are still being born, they will die. And they'll live very long lives because they'll be in the presence of God. Knowledge will be increased. But they'll see Jesus. And there's going to be a generation within a 1,000-year reign of Christ. There will be a generation that still love the world system. They'll still lust after the things of this world. But the devil will be locked up. Remember, the devil's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. Well, after that 1,000 years is up, the devil's going to be loose to tempt whoever he can. And it'll be the last war ever. The battle of Gog and Magog. And then there'll be the great white throne judgment. So no matter what you do, there will be some people that just love the world. No matter what happens, they're going to love the world. And there are people who love God, and no matter what happens against them, they're going to love God. And they're going to do the things of Jesus. And they'll stay out of strife and unforgiveness. But people that love this world, not only will they love this world, they'll get angry when the light comes around. And they always harden their heart, and they avoid the people of God. It's not the people that they're mad at. They're mad at God. And they fuss at the people, and they dislike the people of God. And the Lord knows who's here, so his judgment is perfect. Now, we're attached to people. We love them. And if we can get them, if we can persuade them, we need to do it. Because everybody that go to heaven, they're going to be glad that they came. People that are reluctant, they're going to hate the fact that they once were very reluctant. But the people who get saved, they're going to be so thankful that their sins are forgiven. And they're going to love God greatly. And God knows this. He knows that there will be people that will love him. And he knows that there will be people that will serve him, that were once reluctant. But now he's got to come back. And the luxury of time is over. He's got to come back. And he's coming back swiftly, abruptly, and without warning. And I really don't know whether you'll be able to see this last revival or not, but I know that the Lord, this work of God is going to be cut short in righteousness. And I know this. So if you see it, if you see a lot of people getting saved, if you can, if